These men should have recognized this. Yet their hearts were hard and blind. And instead of celebrating what happened, they dismissed Peter and John for a few minutes while they conferred together about the best way to stop this kind of teaching from spreading across the land. And here we read this morning, "Then they called Peter and John in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard.' And after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all of the people were praising God for what had happened." For centuries, this pericope, this passage, has been used regarding acts of civil disobedience. That is, using the Christian faith as a basis for not conforming to the laws of the land. And that can be a tricky thing to undergo. But here we're given a very clear case of the proper use of civil disobedience. Peter and John have been forbidden by their properly constituted authorities. Now, today we would call them the establishment, and to preach in the name of Jesus. But to their credit, Peter and John do not go behind their backs. Rather, they say immediately to their faces that they could not follow that command. And as I mentioned a moment ago, this incident has been used through the centuries, especially in the last 50 to 60 years of our own time, to justify many activities that involve racial issues, draft evasion, violent demonstrations, boycotts, strikes, blocking abortion clinic entrances, etc. People from all political parties have used civil disobedience rooted in Scripture for their guide. We can read this account without facing the question of whether it is right for Christians to disobey a law because of a religious scruple. Right? This account clearly answers the question with a yes. Can Christians faithfully exercise civil disobedience? Absolutely. There are times when it's necessary, times when it's even right and proper to disobey civil authorities. But it's important. It is important to notice that civil disobedience here occurs only because the conscience of Peter and John rested directly on the clear and unmistakable word of God, which contravened human law. And this is very important for us to see. This issue is so clear here that Peter actually calls on the rulers to be the judges as to what they're really supposed to do. Right? He paraphrastically asks them, "You're religious men. You're the leaders of the people. You know which is the higher authority, the word of God or the word of man. This issue is so clear that we must choose between one or the other." And as they faced the Sanhedrin, the elders of their people, they essentially said, "You tell us which to obey, God or you, God or man." And the leaders are speechless. They know they've been caught in a dilemma. These unschooled men of Galilee have caught them in a bind. And they refused to answer the question directly, but we read they just blustered on some more amongst themselves, knowing full well that the people knew exactly what had happened in the healing of this man. So, when is civil disobedience appropriate? The Bible is very clear that governments come from God. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 is perhaps Paul's fullest explication of this. The Apostle Paul states that authorities are the servants of God. And it's worth stating here that when Paul was living in the middle of the first century, the emperor of Rome was Claudius Augustus Grammaticus. But he's known by a different name, Nero. Nero was wicked. He was vile. He was a godless man, among the worst of all of the emperors who ever ruled over Rome. He was so evil, and I've shared this before, but it helps us to understand the condition and situation in which our ancestors in the faith lived, that he would take Christians living in Rome and conquered people who were Christians. He would dip them in wax. He would tie them to poles and use them for lanterns and lamps at his garden parties. Yet Paul, nowhere in his writing, condemns Nero. Our differences pale to the world our ancient brothers and sisters lived in. Paul teaches us that governments have the right given by God to tax, to keep law and order, and to punish evil doing. It's the role of government to maintain a civil society. So when is civil disobedience allowed? The clear instruction of the Bible is that our conscience is not to be followed unless it is based, unless it is utterly rooted in the Word of God, in the clear and unmistakable command of God. When the issue is in doubt, right, if you're just not sure, then the law of man is superior to our conscience. It is only when there is a clear-cut case of conflict between the Word of God and the will of man, as Peter and John were doing in our reading today, that the conscience is superior to law. Our hearts, our consciences are bound by Scripture, by God's Word. Peter and John were eventually released that day, and they returned to their fellow apostles, and they continued the work of forming a new community, a new family of faith rooted in the good news and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of these men would go on to live lives of vital import to the growth of the Christian faith. In time, Peter would take on a disciple of his own named John Mark. He would pour his life into John Mark, and John would eventually tell the account of Peter's life with Jesus. It's the gospel according to Mark that we have in the New Testament. Peter would then go on to draft two letters, which we have in the New Testament canon, before sometime in the mid-60s, about 30 years from the reading of this letter, this account in Acts, that Peter would be crucified in Rome for refusing to recant the Christian faith. But he did not deem himself worthy to be executed in the same way as his Lord. And how was Peter crucified? Do we remember? Upside down. Upside down. John is the only apostle of the 12 who would go on to live to be an old man. Remember, at the crucifixion of Jesus, as the Lord was hanging from the cross, he bound his mother, Mary, and John together. Shortly after this account in Acts, John would take Mary, and they would move to Ephesus in modern-day Western Turkey, where Mary would live out her days. John would go on to write the gospel according to John. There's three letters in the New Testament that he drafted. And when he was an elderly man, perhaps in his 80s, he was arrested. He refused to recant faith in Christ Jesus. He was sentenced to a Roman penal colony on the island of Patmos. Could you imagine being sentenced to hard labor in your 80s? And it was there that he wrote the Apocalypse, which became known as Revelation. May we be as bold and faithful as Peter and John when we are faced with times of trial and persecution and difficult decisions. May we faithfully share Christ Jesus with our families, with our neighbors, with our communities. May we love others deeply with the love of Jesus. And may we do so because he first loved us. Soli Deo Gloria, right? To God alone be all the glory. Amen.